There is coming a day when your heartache shall come. No more clouds in the skies, no tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day. Burdens to bear, no more sickness or pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good morning. Good to see everybody. We're a couple minutes early, but that's okay, right? Yeah. Better early than late, I always say. So welcome. Good to have you all here this morning. Wow, what another beautiful day, the 1st of March, and we praise the Lord for his goodness, his blessings. Just a few announcements before we'll go on with our worship service. First of all, chancel choir. So this is open to adults and high school students. We're going to start our first practice today, I believe. Marina's coming yet, right, Ron? Okay. So that'll be after church, and we'll plan to do that on the Sundays for sure through March, right after church, and sing for Monday, Thursday. The Good News Kids Club, it's in your bulletin coming up in March there. You see the dates. There are sign-up sheets. It's actually in the social hall. If you can help, we need some more adult helpers. There's items listed for snacks, I believe, too, for the kids, since this is right after school. So please take a look at that. The Family Fun event, that's coming up in 2 weeks. We do this every year. The Christian Education Committee sponsors it, and it's just a fun time where we go down to Yankton and have a couple games of bowling. And if you don't bowl, you can just come along to watch and enjoy the fellowship, and then supper following that at Pizza Ranch. So there's a sign-up sheet for that in the narthex as well. I have care center service this afternoon at 2:00. If you're healthy, you're welcome to come. We'll say it that way. That should be a given, right? But they do have a sign on the door with, we're doing good in the care center, and we sure don't want to bring any flu or anything like that in there, especially for our elderly residents there. So that's today at 2:00. This coming Saturday night, see if you can remember this, daylight savings time begins. So that means we lose an hour. Set your clocks ahead an hour on Saturday night before you go to bed. These two flower arrangements on my immediate left are given in memory of Leroy Seiler by his family. Leroy was Ann Ramus's father, and his funeral was this last Wednesday morning over at Scotland. So thank you for sharing those with us. Lastly, just make mention, we're also in the practices for the Menno Olivet Community Easter Cantata. We started those Friday night. We'll be practicing again this Tuesday night, and this will be at Zion Reformed as we move around to the different churches for our practices. Still need more voices, so come and join us, please. The rest of the announcements I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come. We come through the precious and powerful blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word. Lord, I speak this verse to you so many times where you tell us we can come with confidence, not in who we are, but who we are in Christ. We can come with confidence before your throne to obtain mercy, to find grace, to help in times of need. And so we do today as a body of believers here in this sanctuary, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We come with joy and excitement in our hearts. Excitement as we think of heaven, as we've just sung about. What a day, what a glorious day that will be, Jesus, when we get to see you face to face. But all the more as we live on this earth, and the blessings that we get to enjoy here, this part of the world in which you have placed us, we are truly grateful and thankful for the peace that we enjoy here, for the fellowship and the friendships, and on we could go. So thank you, and certainly for the beautiful sanctuary that we get to gather in. Most of all, Father, we are here to worship you, the Ancient of Days. We are here, Jesus, to worship you in spirit and in truth, our King, our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we lift our voices. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Number 104 will be our opening hymn, O Worship the King. So let's stand together as we sing this, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for such beautiful singing today as we're here to worship the King. Please greet those around you before you're seated today.
Up to the front row here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Morning, Michael. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning, and certainly a great joy as Jerry and Joanne Nuss celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on Friday. Yes. And they have a large part of the family here with them today. I think all the kids and the grandkids. So how special is that? And Mark Mooney's parents. Welcome to you also from Iowa. Okay. So great. It's good to have Lee Palmerville with us today. He's feeling better, and they've adjusted some meds, so we thank God for that. And Eugene and Lorene Weidenbach are back with us, so praise the Lord. Good to have them too. And everybody, of course, but we have much to rejoice about. I was told today is Bridget Vaith's 16th birthday, so happy birthday to you, wherever you're at. There you are. I know you're back there somewhere. Happy birthday, Bridget. If you saw the Freeman Courier, this little girl that had a welder in her hands, that was Bridget in the picture. Yes. So a couple other things here that I have. Let me just look. Continued prayers for Milo Hauk. He was this week to the VA and had a second opinion regarding the prostate cancer, and we're going to be trying some different things this week, so we're thankful for that, and certainly they appreciate your prayers ongoing. The coronavirus, that situation, I believe we're all in prayer about, I hope so, and certainly we need to be for around our world. Other things that anybody has, joys or concerns? Over here, Tyler. Tyler and Heidi Ulmer's little boy Henry turns 2 on Saturday. Happy birthday to him. Thanks, Tyler. Okay, over here. Is that McKinley? Okay. Lincoln Guthmiller's birthday is tomorrow. Let's see, is he going to be 1? 2 already. Oh my goodness. Okay. Abby Shanefish. Okay, Cindy Herbolt's birthday is Thursday. AJ's is on Saturday. Happy birthday to you guys. Jane. Which? Tuesday. Mary Lee Hauk has a birthday Tuesday. Is that right? What day? You're not. The 4th. 4. Happy birthday, Mary Lee. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we love you with all of our hearts, and we just rejoice in several exciting things here. Birthdays, for sure. Some of our older ones that haven't been able to be with us, that they're back with us, and we thank you for that. Eugene Weidenbach, especially, and Lee Palmerville, that you're just working within both of them, Lord, in their lives. And many more. We thank you for Jerry and Joanne Nuss and the 50 years that they together that they were able to celebrate this week with their family and friends and grandchildren all here with them. And I know that just means so much to Jerry and Joanne. And we thank you for your blessing on their lives. With health and strength, we pray for many years to come. Lord, for the beautiful weather again, we are grateful. For those that are calving and lambing during this time, I'm sure they're thankful for it as well. And we pray that you watch over them and help those things to go well. And whatever our livelihood is, whether it's working on the roads or in the schools or in the hospitals and care centers and on we could go, Lord, you give us the strength to do these things, and we're so thankful for it each and every day. I want to pray for Milo Hauk. I thank you, Father, for this second opinion that he got and some more hope that they've been giving. And we just trust and always for your healing hand and power to be working in a mighty way throughout his being, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for what the medical science on their side is trying to do. And we pray that that can work effectively also. For our world, Lord, we lift up the world situation, especially some of these countries, China, Italy, where this virus seems to be spreading. Lord, you are our Father, and this is your world. We know that these things are part of the curse all the way back to Genesis. But we also know, Jesus, that you are the great physician, and your power is greater than all. So we ask for wisdom to those doing the research and the scientists and all that goes on. We pray for peace and calm in the midst of this as we fix our eyes upon you. And Father, as we pray for our nation daily, asking you, thanking you by faith for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, we pray for that. And as we sing that chorus, sometimes, Jesus, you are the hope of the nations, and you are. And let the eyes of our nation be open to that, Father. Instead of thinking we're so great in ourselves, we're certainly not. Let the eyes of our nation be returned to the roots and the founding of this nation upon you, Father, and your word. We pray that we can return to that, and we ask for your mercies every day. Thank you for our troops serving at home and abroad, thousands of them. Keep them safe, we pray. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Philippians 4:13. This will be from the Amplified Version of the Bible. This will be where we're at today as who we are in Christ. This is what it says. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Notice that it's not in our own sufficiency, it's in him. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I love how that says that verse. We'll receive our offering this morning, please. Thank you. give you our highest praises. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you have made us to be in Christ. Blessings beyond measure, and we bring, Lord, our offerings, our tithes, the first fruits of all of our increase, we bring them here as we bring them into your storehouse, Lord. We're not just dropping money in a plate. We're sowing seed into the kingdom of heaven. And thank you for the fruit that grows out of this place by your Spirit, that grows in our lives by the working of your Spirit in incredible ways. Through your word, as you said, that works effectively in us who believe. We thank you, Lord, that we can mount up on wings like eagles. As the song was played, and I will raise you up on eagle's wings. And so you do. You do that you allow us to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint, as we wait upon you in your presence. Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And Father, we do confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. I also wanted to say, again, those that were here Wednesday night, we all certainly enjoyed the high school students helping with the service, and they did a wonderful job.
Good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody doing today? Good. It's good to see everybody. Well, I have a question for you. How many of you think that you could put a straw through this potato? Just stick it through there. You think it's impossible, or you think you can do it?
I can do it.
Okay, Raylan, come here. You want to try? You got to put this straw. You get one chance. Okay? You can't push it in and push it back in. All right? Here's your straw. Here's your potato. Ready? One try. It's got to go all the way through. Oh, you did it. Watch your hand. Watch your hand. I don't want you to. Oh, good job. Good. Well, almost. She almost did it, right? She was pushing, pushing, pushing. How many of you think I can just do it in one shot, that I can do it in one shot? You think it's impossible?
No.
You think you could do it?
Yeah.
All right, but when you go home, I'm going to show you how to do this, but when you go home, at home, you can ask your parents to do it. Ooh. All right? All right. No, I'm going to try it, okay? I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to show you. So what you have to do, though, you can't hold it like this, or what could happen to your hand? You might get poked and it might hurt. So what you do is you hold it between your finger and your thumb, like that, right? You take the straw. Now, I use many straws, and I have several potatoes at home with holes in them. Some straws worked, some straws did not. So we're going to try this. And you take the straw and you put your thumb at the top of it, all right? Now, let's see if it has. You're supposed to hold it like right in front of your stomach here. See if it can do it with one shot. Oh, I didn't do it either. It came out right through there. Let's try it again, okay? There we go. One shot, all right? Now, you don't do this on your own, okay? You have to do it with your parents. But this is just because I don't want you to get hurt. That's right. You're jabbing that in there. You could have, get hurt. We don't want you to. But I was just showing you that some things in our life seems like they're kind of impossible to do, right? But this showed us that we can do things, right? Okay, now Pastor Mike read that scripture, and I loved how he had it in the Amplified, Philippians 4:13. I don't have it in the Amplified, so I can't, unless you can put it, that's all right, you don't need to put it up there. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. But do you think that means that I could swallow a car? Well, that's all things, right? Do you think I can really, really try my best, go to sleep at night, and grow 6 inches by morning? No, you can't do that. Zoe wishes, huh? You and me both. I'm the short one in the family. Okay, do you think that you could, like yesterday I watched some of you play basketball. It was really fun, the boys and girls, third and fourth grade. Do you think you could go out there if you have never, ever even held a basketball in your hand, ever, your whole life, and you go out there and just make baskets and do a great game? Yeah. Probably not. Probably not. How about if you decided you're going to play the trumpet or trombone or flute without ever even holding one or looking at one? No, right? So these things aren't meaning like what we think are all things. These things, like the Amplified said, means if God asks me to do it, he'll give me the strength to do it. If he asks me to do it, he'll give me the strength to do it. So what are some things that he asks you boys and girls to do from the Bible? What are some things you know to do? Respect your parents. We know we're supposed to do that because God tells us. So if you say in your heart and to God, I'm going to respect my parents, guess what? He's going to give you the strength to do it, even when you don't want to do it. What else? Anybody else that the Bible tells us to do? Don't be naughty. Don't be naughty. Don't disobey, because the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents and the Lord. So obey. Listen to what you're told to do. And who will give you the strength to do it? God will. One more.
Don't lie.
Don't lie. It tells us right in the Bible, don't lie. We know God tells us not to do it. He doesn't want us to do it. So guess what? He'll give us the strength to do it, right? How about if you know somebody that you want to share with Jesus with? Somebody in your class or a cousin or somebody that doesn't go to church? Does God want us to share with others?
Yeah.
Yes. What will he do then? He will give us the strength to do that. He will give us the strength to do that. Now, I have a question from last week. How many of you took those cards home that I gave you, those scriptures about who we are, and put them somewhere in your house? Did you do it?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Did anybody? Okay, so tell me who you are in Christ. Tell me one thing. Can you remember what you read?
I am a child of God.
All right, good job. Good job. Give me five. Good job. God picked me and wants me to bear fruit. Do you remember, Aiden?
The same thing.
The same thing. You got it. That's good. Give me a high five. How about you, Trent? Okay, God picked me and wants me to bear fruit. You know what? You keep saying these things, God's going to give you the strength to do that, to believe it and to do it and to share it. Is that exciting? It is exciting, because we can do the things through him that God wants us to do. All right, let's pray. Father, we worship you and praise you, and we thank you that when we're trying to do something for you, Lord, that you've told us we should do, we thank you that we don't do it in our own strength, that you help us to do all things through you. Thank you that as we're learning who we are in Christ, that we're all getting a hold of it, and we children are also. Help them to be a blessing wherever they go, to be a light that shines for you. You've gifted every single one of these children. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can get your paper.
Thank you, Anne. That was a good answer. The same thing. So Tyler is going to sing for us today. He had a couple options, and so actually what he's going to sing is When We All Get to Heaven, not what's listed in the bulletin, and that's a great song. So thank you, Tyler, for doing that. Thank you, Tyler. Make me cry. Thank you very much. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the many, many promises in your word. Certainly the promises of heaven, where we will sing and shout the victory of knowing you, living in you, seeing you face to face. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Tyler having the courage to sing this morning and doing a wonderful job. Thank you for the work you're doing in his life and Heidi's and their families. We praise you for it. Lord, it's your word that it is at work in every one of us as your children. And you are so patient with us. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we thank you for it. Lord, as we look into your word now, let us focus and set our minds upon you and your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me by your Spirit, that it would not be just with enticing words of men's wisdom. I don't want to be up here just somebody babbling away, but Father, may it be by the anointing and power of your Spirit. I pray and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4 today, verses 10 through 20. continuing on this series of who we are in Christ. Truly amazing, all he has given us in Christ. Philippians 4, verse 10. Excuse me now, I got the sniffles. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more. I am amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I think my wife needs a drink of water. But there's not much left in there. I don't know if the junior choir was snitching in my water cup or what. Who we are in Christ. This is number 6 as we've been working through this series here. I gave the high schoolers a quiz on it, and we got about 3, I guess, out of 5. So better than half. But I hope you're taking these, write them down somewhere where you have them with you through the week so that you're saying these before the Father, thanking him, in Christ I'm a new creation. I mean, that's incredible. The old is gone, the new has come. We were born spiritually dead because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And when we receive Christ, we are born again, the new right here in our spirit being with the Holy Ghost living inside. So I am a new creation in Christ. Second, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us both of those, verse 17 and verse 21. The righteousness of God. Wow. We could never get there on our own. It's all because of the blood of Jesus that we're in right standing with him. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I don't. I don't need to know. I'm not excusing it, but the blood of Jesus washes us, and he sees you as the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, you are God's workmanship. We saw that. Another translation said you are God's masterpiece. He designed you and made you as beautiful as you are. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. I might need that later, or she might, I don't know. But you are God's workmanship. And the scripture also tells us that he, God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we are always a work in progress, right? It's not at a point where we think we've arrived. Look at me. Woo! No, never. No. Until we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, as the song said. Yes, then we are made perfect at that point. Last Sunday, in Christ I am redeemed. Redeemed from the dominion of darkness. As our catechism question number one says, I've been redeemed, set free from the tyranny of the devil. That's exciting as well. So today, we're going to go on to number six. This would be every year when the eighth graders come to that year in confirmation and they're asked in their faith statement to choose their favorite Bible verse. I always have to say, now you can't all choose Philippians 4:13, although it is an amazing verse, and they love it, and I love it, and rightly so. We're going to look at the context of it as we go on here, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I say this every time, those are the phrases you're watching for in the epistles. In Christ, in Him, if it's talking about Christ, through Him, through Christ, with Him, it's what we're watching for on every one of these. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, thank you, Anne, for that. And thank you, Cheryl, for that beautiful offertory, too. I was going to say that earlier. I loved that one. So, you know, when we start thinking about this more, and these verses and these points are on our hearts and our minds, I think we'll catch ourselves more of how often we say, I can't. I can't. Can be in simple ways. Example, Friday night, we're over at Olivet Church, our first cantata practice. Mr. Sieverding's directing this year. There's a phrase in there of four measures. So for you that are musical, you know what I mean. For you that aren't, maybe you don't. But he's like, okay, now, I want you guys to not breathe through these four measures. He didn't say, try and stagger your breathing. He said, don't. And I didn't say it out loud to him, but to Larry Kirschman, who was sitting beside me, I said, I can't do that. I cannot hold my breath for four measures in singing. Maybe if I was younger, I probably could. And right after I said that, what comes to my mind? Oh, what are you preaching on Sunday? I'm like, thank you, Lord. What am I preaching on Sunday? I said, I am sorry. This is my prayer under my breath. Larry didn't know any of this was going on inside of me. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. Through you, I can do all things. Give me the strength to do that. You might think, well, that's such a piddly thing. Well, I suppose it is in the grand scheme of things, but it relates to this. This is what we're talking about. So here, let's get a little background on this. This letter to the church at Philippi, written by the Apostle Paul, okay? So he had this very special partnership with this church. He really did. If you'd read, there's just four chapters in it. Doesn't take you long to read through it, but you will notice that he did. And how did it start? It actually started, and you'd have to go to Acts chapter 16 and read that chapter, as him and Silas were starting out on what's called their second missionary journey, going back to visit churches that he had been to before, cities to start churches. And so if you read this chapter 16 of Acts, you see him lay it all out, Paul. Well, we thought that we were being led by the Holy Spirit to go up into Asia, which would have been north, but he forbid us. And we felt that we were being, I'm paraphrasing greatly, okay, led by the Spirit to go down in Phrygia, I think it was, which would have been south. And the Holy Spirit forbade us. And then he goes to sleep, and God gives him a vision of this man from the territory, the region of Macedonia, which was west, and he's calling out to Paul in that vision, come and tell us the message of the gospel. So it was a very supernatural way that the gospel went to the city of Philippi in the region of Macedonia. You'd think, wow, if I had a vision like that, wow, God must be going to do great things. Yeah, but you know what? And they always told us this in seminary. If you have a more of a supernatural direction and leading from the Lord, you can almost guarantee it's going to come with a lot of battles. And that's why God has directed you in a more supernatural way. So, and they did. They get over there. They go west. And they get into the city of Philippi, where there is no synagogue, Jewish synagogue. That's always where they started out, preaching about Jesus first. So it wasn't there. They heard there was this prayer meeting going on down by the riverside. Ever wonder where that hymn comes from? Right there. And they find a group of women praying. And Lydia, is it Lydia? gets saved, as well as others. And the church begins. But guess what else happens? They start preaching in the city. They come across this slave girl who has a spirit of divination. She is possessed with an evil spirit by which she's doing fortune telling. Okay? Don't get into that stuff. Just a side note. Do not get into that. Psychics, mediums, whatever. That's all garbage. It is not of God. Don't play with it. Please. Just have to say that since we're on it. So they, after some days, Paul cast that evil spirit out of this girl. A great thing. Her owners were very upset. They're thrown in jail, Paul and Silas, whipped and beaten. You know that whole account, Acts 16, right? At midnight, after being beaten and bloodied, they're in the dungeon where the sewer flows and rats and everything else, and they're singing praises to God, and God causes an earthquake to come, and they're supernaturally set free, right? That's how this church in Philippi began. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So he many times through these four chapters is expressing thanks to the people, the believers in this church, excuse me, for the gifts that they are giving. Mission work. Helping another church. We did for, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 years, tried to help that church plant get going that was up at Hudson, Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it's a long story. I mean, it did good for a while, and then it didn't. So we gave to the Lord. We give to the Lord. There was a lot of good work that happened. As I think about this, my mind goes back to Ann and I, our own lives in this church, that you supported us for 17 years, 11 years on the Navajo Reservation, 6 more years up on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. Sometimes it was Mission Fest, sometimes women of the church, sometimes it was individuals. I asked Ann to wear the piece of jewelry that years back Luella Handel bought. I'd bring some Navajo jewelry back and just to help the people out, sell it and then take the money and give it to those individuals. And Luella saved that all her years and wore it often, and when she passed, they gave it back to Ann. So sort of cool. So for 17 years, this church sewed in to what we were doing. And the interesting part is here on May 1st of 2020, we'll be starting our 17th year here. Who would have ever imagined? Not in my wildest dreams, but praise the Lord. So sowing, see the Philippian church, they were sowing into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In verse 10, Philippians 10, look at that through 12 real quick here. Paul says, he's writing this letter. See, it was Epaphroditus who had brought the gift to Paul when he was in prison in Rome. And he, by the Spirit of God, writes this letter to that church and to us that we get to enjoy today, and he sends it back to the church with this man, Epaphroditus. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he comes to verse 13. What's the secret? Right there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, I've learned the secret. The secret is learning who you are in Christ and then living in it, putting it into practice in our everyday lives. When temptations come our way and we struggle with that and the battlefield is in the mind, as we all know, and Satan's pounding with these thoughts, maybe trying to push us down, maybe thoughts of temptation we're trying to resist, take the word, right? That's how Jesus resisted the devil in the wilderness. Those 40 days, he said, it is written. So you say, no, Satan, it is written. If any man, if any woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You know what, Satan? I'm not listening to that stuff. I am a new creation in Christ. And secondly, it is written that I have been redeemed through him, through his blood, that I have been set free from the kingdom of darkness, which is your kingdom. I'm not your property anymore. I do not belong to you. I live in Christ. That's what I'm hoping we get from this. Paul knew when he says, I've learned the secret. He knew the struggles. We talked about that last Sunday in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 when he listed all those trials that he had gone through. You know how his life was ended? It's not recorded in Scripture, so this is by tradition. Early church historians say he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero, and that, of course, was for his faith. Going on here, verse 15, and flip back to Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again. I mean, he was touched by what they were doing. It was after Philippi. If your Bible has some of those maps in it, you look at the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey, and you see Thessalonica was one of the places he went after Philippi. The Amplified Bible, you got that, Caleb, once again there? I'll give you a minute to get it of that. Yeah. Let's read this together, please. I might stop you at one point, okay? Let's go. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Okay, stop right there. That I said it in offering. I'm going to say it again just so you know that phrase. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I want to make sure we're clear on that because there's so much in the world. It's all about, me, you as individual. And we think it's all in ourselves, that we are self-sufficient and don't have to rely on anybody or anything. No, it's like it says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Okay, let's read on together, please. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Yeah, I love how that brings that out. Now, just before we get into David and Goliath here, which I think we all love that example, I think of things over the years, and some of these examples go back quite a ways, but they're things that just stand out, and I've probably shared this, it's been quite a while, but this goes back to Cameron, before we were married, and I on the Navajo Reservation, and it was back then those old overhead projectors, right, where you put the clear thing, transparency on the screen, and it comes up and shines, and that's how we did all our music, our words there. And so Sunday morning church this one day, the bulb burns out. Now, I had changed those bulbs before at other places. You'd think it's not that hard, right? So Sunday afternoon, I am trying to change that bulb because we had a new one. And could I get that old bulb out of there? I could not get that thing out for anything. Well, y'all know my mechanical ability, but still, I had changed these things before, all right? So I'm working on it. Finally, I just laid down on my in my itty-bitty trailer there and on the bed, and I said, Lord, I really would like this to work because we have church Sunday night too. I really want to use this projector Sunday night. If you could just show me how to do it. You said in your word, this is exactly what I did. You said in your word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think this is just one of those things I need your help on. So I'm laying there. I doze off. I had a little dream while I dozed off where I saw exactly what I was doing wrong with that bulb. I kid you not. I woke up, I'm like, huh. Opened the thing up again, did what I saw, popped the bulb out, put the new one in, and praise the Lord, we were ready to go on Sunday night. Now that doesn't happen all the time, unfortunately. Matter of fact, that's probably the only time something like that has happened. But it was sort of cool. You remember those things, don't you? Now, example, of course, we're going back to the Old Testament here. Maybe you're thinking, well, this is before Christ. Right, it is. But yet David had this relationship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It was incredible. He knew God's presence, and he knew who he was in the Lord God Almighty. And we see that. I just want to go through this sort of quickly. But with Goliath, you know the account, but here's some statistics. Goliath, he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. No wonder he's called a giant. 9 feet 9 inches. His body armor that he wore weighed 125 pounds. How'd you like to lug that around? The spear he had, the javelin, just the head of that spear weighed 15 pounds, not even the iron rod that it was made of. So this was a giant of a man, as we all know. David, however, he was the son of Jesse, and of course we know the lineage of Christ comes down through David. He was the youngest of 8 brothers, and what? Jesse was concerned about how this battle was going against the Philistines, where Goliath would come out, the Israelite army, let's say they were over there on the west, the Philistines here, and Goliath comes stomping out and making fun of Israel, mocking their God, defying the armies of the living God. For 40 days he had been doing that. And all those soldiers, army men of Israel, were scared of him. Nobody would take the challenge. And here comes David, down to bring some roasted grain and bread and cheese for the troops. Jesse sent him down, and he sees what's going on. And he says, 1 Samuel 17 is where I'm at, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's defying the armies of the living God? What's it? Uncircumcised means he is not even a part of the covenant God had with the Jewish people. What's going on here? He should not be mocking our God. And Eliab, who was his oldest brother, who was there fighting, three oldest brothers were out there fighting. Eliab says to David, he says he burned with anger at him, and he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? What's he doing? He's mocking him, isn't he? You're nothing. You can't fight in this army. And you know what else he says? He says, Eliab says to David, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch this battle. You know what the difference was? Eliab was the one full of pride. David was very humble. Scripture often speaks about his tender heart before the Lord. The difference was that David knew his strength came from the Lord God Almighty alone. Today we would say he knew his strength came from Christ alone. Today we would say he knew who he was in Christ when we bring it to the New Testament. And he had confidence of who he was in Christ. That's how he could talk this way. When God gives you a dream of something to do that's incredible, yeah, there'll be people telling you you can't. There'll be people close to you that love you that tell you you can't. Then he's brought to Saul, the king, and what happens there? Saul says to him, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine." I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, David says to Saul, I'm going to go and do it. And Saul says, verse 33, "You are not able." Here's the king telling you, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. He's been a fighting man from his youth." And of course, David stands his ground. "I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, and I can kill this uncircumcised Philistine." So you know, Saul tries to put his own armor on, right? David, just a boy. Didn't work. "I'm not using that. Can't use it." So he goes out and he says, "I'm going to defeat this guy because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And so he goes out there. Philistine comes out. He's just mocking him. "What, am I a dog? You come against me with stones and a stick?" He's just laughing at him. And David says, "You come against me with a sword and javelin and spear, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And the birds are going to eat," and on it goes. And he says, "And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Don't you love that? David's confidence was 100% in the Lord. He knew in himself he couldn't do it. And there's many things we know, I hope, in ourselves that we can't do. When the world comes against us, attacks in whatever that way they might be, boy, be grounded as to who we are in Christ. And that makes all the difference. I don't know if most of you have seen, I'll just close up with this movie, Overcomer. We watched part of it with the high schoolers and through part of the class time, and that little girl that's in there, she receives Christ. And the one thing, the lady that prayed with her, that prayer, she says to her then, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to read through Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and write down all the things that are told that you have now because you are in Christ." And she makes this whole list. It's so cool. There's a speech class going on, all these kids trying out, and they're just bombing it. She steps in when it's almost done and says, "I have something to say." And she starts proclaiming who she is in Christ, a high school girl, before all her students, classmates. And a bunch of them are just crying. It's so cool. When we learn that and we know it, we walk in it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. It is true. Your word says so. It's nothing in ourselves, and we know that, but only in you. Let these truths become a reality to our hearts and minds, I pray, as we speak them out, as we praise you for each one of them, that we walk in you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 526. On Christ the solid rock I stand. These are closing hymn. Let's stand up here, please. Sing this together. Are we doing that transition or not? I forgot to ask. Okay, straight through things. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. It's going to be another beautiful week, the way it sounds. Thank you, Cheryl, for the music. Choir, remember our practice.